Welcome back to Issues and Ideas. A public persona is the tool which many in the spotlight use to attract others to them. This can be for personal as well as for public reasons. However, that public persona is often just a fraction of the complete content of that person, which the people who entered that life wind up discovering, and that's not always in a positive way either. My next guest is the best-selling author whose books reveal the full and factually complete lives of people of fame. His latest is the first ever, believe it or not, biography of one of the children of what's called America's Royal Family. The book is RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and The Dark Side of the Dream. We say good morning to Jerry Oppenheimer. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
An incredible job with what is, not to tip the hand off tremendously with your book, but a very complicated personality. And I've had Bobby Jr. on the show for a few times over the years. And on a one-on-one, he's very calm, rational, intellectual, educational. You have to fact-check him on a few things from time to time. But then you see him in front of a large crowd at an environmental rally or something like that, and he's maniacal in many ways. Is that a good representation of who RFK Jr. is?
Well, that's an interesting take you have of him because you've seen him in two different situations. You know, the reason I wrote this book was because Senator Robert Kennedy's son, Bobby Jr., who we're talking about, was the leader of the third generation of young Kennedys, who after his father's assassination was considered the torchbearer. He was the one who the Kennedy family thought was going to be the next great Kennedy to enter the political arena, conceivably being the next Kennedy to hold the position of President of the United States, but it never happened. And that's the reason I decided to look into this book. What caused this guy not to fulfill the dreams of, you know, America's so-called royal family? And what I found was a very complex guy who has led a very turbulent life. He was a user of drugs from drug 101, marijuana, all the way up to heroin for 15 years of his life. It wasn't until he was 29 when he was arrested for heroin possession that he tried to clean up that part of his life. The other addiction he suffered, and I deal with this in depth in the book, is a sex addiction. And he himself wrote, he kept a personal diary that I deal with in the book that talked about 1 year in his life during his second marriage in which he had affairs with, literally dozens of women. And he termed those affairs caused by his lust demons. He said that he was, diabolically controlled by these lust demons which forced him to pursue other women. That both the drugs and the philandering caused two of his marriages to be very turbulent and upsetting for the women involved with. And the second marriage, which got great publicity at the time, his second wife, died by suicide, yes, Hanging herself in their home in Westchester County, New York. So it's been a very strange life this man has led.
And the cynical would say, well, that's just the Kennedy gene. It seems to run the family, especially the fooling around part. But if you look at the family, the immediate family, I mean, obviously the absence of the father and the way that absence was created, that some would say, if you want to be fair-minded, okay, that's certainly a cause for psychological trauma.
That seems to be the speculation among most people. You know, his father was assassinated when Bobby Jr. was 14 years old. This had great emotional impact on him. It caused him to start doing drugs, caused him to start chasing women during marriages. But he himself says that his father's assassination had very little to do with whatever he's done in his life. He claims that his use of drugs that lasted almost just about 15 years had to do with the fact that he grew up in the 60s when drugs were part of the zeitgeist of that generation. Well, that's a bit hard to believe. And he had one of the interesting things I found in the book, in researching the book, is the fact that while the wing of the Kennedy family, RFK RFK, his wife Ethel Skakel Kennedy, and their 11 children had this wonderful home life, which was portrayed in Life magazine and many of the magazines of that era, was really not true. In fact, RFK was rarely home. He was having affairs himself. Ethel Kennedy, Bobby's mother, was kind of a social butterfly. She came from a high society family in Greenwich, Connecticut. And the children were kind of left to fend for themselves. They were raised by nannies, hired help, that sort of thing. So his family life wasn't great because they were never really there.
And even those hired to help raise the boys and the girls, many of them didn't last long just because of the challenges and the workload that the kids presented.
Well, beyond that, it was the challenge of dealing with Ethel Kennedy.
Oh, yes. That's a whole other story that Jerry points out with RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and The Dark Side of the Dream, his new best-selling book, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You bring to light an interesting character within Camelot who, I guess, transcended the generations. Talk about who Lem Billings was.
Oh, Lem Billings was one of Jack Kennedy's closest friends. The two had met when they were together at boarding school when they were teenagers. Lem Billings, though, was gay and had essentially fallen in love with JFK. He idolized him. There are sources who talk about Billings even performing certain sex acts on JFK, while JFK himself wasn't gay, was heterosexual. It's a very twisted relationship. When RFK was assassinated in June of 1968, Ethel Kennedy, Bobby Jr.'s mother, turned Bobby over to Lem Billings. Basically, the mother abandoned the son, and Lem Billings became the surrogate parent, the surrogate father for Bobby Jr. Billings wanted to kind of mold Bobby Jr. into the image of JFK, telling Bobby you could be president one day, telling him he should marry a woman much like Jackie. Very strange. And what was even stranger was when Bobby was at Harvard, Bobby Jr. was at Harvard, Lem Billings was telling him, you will be the next president, next Kennedy to become president. At the same time, Lem Billings was doing drugs with Bobby Jr. Very bizarre.
That's the understatement of the morning. When you look at it and you're talking about why Bobby Jr. never went into, not even just for presidency, for the Senate, when there was an opportunity to be a senator for New York, he took a pass on that too. When you look at his environmental work and how he seems to want to be the dominant force, and I guess the saying would be doesn't always play well with others, do you think that's any factor, too, as far as maybe Bobby Jr. himself realized that, okay, I'm not as cooperative as I need to be to be in that leadership role of a national political seat?
Well, over the years, he's been asked many times by journalists, when are you going to throw your hat in the ring? You could run for Senate. You could run for president. You could run for Attorney General of the state of New York. You could be the next head of the EPA. And offers had been quietly made to him, but he always rejected them. His excuse really was, well, if I spend time in Washington, if I spend time in the Capitol and in Albany, I'm not going to be able to spend time with my family, which when you weigh that and analyze what he's saying, I'm a family man. At the same time, he was cheating on his wife. He's a man of many, many, many contradictions, and I tried in those 400 pages in the book to paint an objective profile of him, and it was difficult in many ways to find a good side. People might say, well, you're not sympathetic to this guy. I don't play armchair psychologist or psychiatrist in all the books that I write. I try and be as objective as possible. I base the profile on literally dozens and dozens and dozens of people I interview. I had tried to interview Bobby Kennedy Jr. I sent emails to his office, told him that, I've been working on this book. I have a number of controversial issues that I'd like to hear your side of, because maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the people I spoke to had an agenda. I want to hear what you have to say. He never, ever responded to what was going to be the first ever major biography of his life. And then he went on his own website a couple of days before the book was published, which is about a week ago, and said that I never tried to contact him, and everything in the book was fiction.
Oops. Well, whatever the belief is when you of what you have of somebody when you start reading a biography, when you're reading a biography by Jerry Oppenheimer, what you are going to get is the truth and reality of the person, whether or not even that person, the subject, wants to be honest about themselves and admit to it. And it's an interesting character study, to say the least, and maybe, probably, I believe, will answer a lot of questions when, if you are one of those people who follows the Kennedy family, about why that, how that, what did that cause, or what was the catalyst for that. RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and The Dark Side of the Dream. I believe what Jerry Oppenheimer does, he fills in a lot of those questions with the answers, and they are through facts and reality. And really just who a person is rather than what they want you to believe them to be. And that's why Jerry's work in biographies stands above the rest, at least I think so. It's one of those must-reads. Add it to your bookshelf and get it through your favorite means online. If you're one of those weird people that still actually go to bookstores, if there are any left in this in the world. Another way, of course, to get there, too. RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and The Dark Side of the Dream, Jerry Oppenheimer. Honest, factual job. That's all anyone could ever ask for, whether it's about themselves or if they're the reader. Mission accomplished on that. Thanks for being here this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.